All right, episode 55 of 6 Point Weekend. We are at London Bridge. My name is Chuck. We got Ebony back.
Hello.
And welcome back, Ebony.
We got Dave.
Var giveth and Var taketh away.
And we got Jonathan, who will be joining us in the middle of this. So when Jonathan starts talking, that's when he's here. But Ebony, I've been looking forward to saying this for a long time. Welcome back. And who brings us here?
Oh my gosh. We're brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company right here in downtown Raleigh. It's sour beer season, but it's dark beer season in my heart. You can find both anytime, any of their two locations. But the downtown one is pretty cool in my opinion. We're also brought to you by London Bridge Pub, where they now have a kitchen where they will be showing all the World Cup games, including the final, which the USA is in at 11 a.m. on Sunday.
Oh, my God. It's 11 a.m.?
That's an 11 a.m. game.
Ugh.
No. We're part of the Beautiful Game Network, BGN.FM, and we're still friends of the pod on Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Hashtag SNSTFam. Fam.
And we're brought to you by Golden Cold Press at goldengoldpress.com.
Right on.
Yeah. I missed that.
It felt weird having me do it. I was terrible at it. Yeah. So, all right. Let's just dive right in, shall we?
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
NCFC. First of all, hey, 6 Point Weekend.
Nine point weekend.
Yeah. Zach would like to correct us.
Shout out to the U23s.
Getting shit done.
Top of the table, I believe.
Yes.
Currently, right now, as of recording. So that's good. NCFC is sitting fourth. Courage are sitting fifth, but only 3 points out of first.
Yeah.
So
it's a really tight race in the NWSL right now.
Probably as tight as...
plays to our advantage.
Yeah. Probably as tight as it's been in a while.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that. But first, Dead Whales. 1-0 result against Nashville SC.
Ooh.
Good win.
Very good win.
We needed it.
Big time.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a must win, but it's a must get a result. I think we talked about that last week.
Yeah. Yes, you did. I listened. It was very good.
Yeah, so we got to welcome Bolu Akinyode back and Daniel Rios. I forgot Akinyode was on Nashville. Forgot about that. But definitely didn't forget about Daniel Rios coming back. He was so cool. He came over to the supporters section after the game and like acknowledged us. It was really,
oh, dope.
Really classy move.
Nice.
By him. You know, for only being here on loan for one season. That was he didn't have to do that. And so shout out to Daniel Rios for being a classy dude. Real classy dude. Having said that, we won. We got a goal in the 30th minute from Ben Spies from a beautiful one-touch finish to the bottom corner.
It was a really nice give and go.
Yeah, it was.
The looks of it, because he basically passed it out wide to Guillen, and Guillen just put it right back in for him.
Yeah. Love that give and go. Love the one-touch, one-time finish. Put it in the only place where the keeper couldn't get to it, which is what you're supposed to do if you're a forward or attacking mid, in his case. It's a really, really good result. It's a shutout for Tim Backus. It's the fifth of the season for him, six overall for the club, which is... It kind of surprised me a little bit. Like Tim Backus has 5 shutouts. Like, this very quiet 5 shutouts. Like, yeah. I don't remember them necessarily. Like, was that weird? I don't remember.
I remember a couple of them, but I
remember like a couple of nil-nil draws.
Right, and maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Is that like these were nil-nil draws? Counts. It counts.
Counts as a clean sheet.
Pancho got his first start for the USL.
In the league. Yes. Yep. So that was he played on the wing.
Yeah.
Which we were all kind of like, I thought he was a midfielder or even a defensive mid, but he actually showed up pretty well, I thought. Like, given that Nas was out for personal reasons. So we find out now that Nas was not even on the bench for this game. And we're all like, oh, what's going on? It just said personal reasons.
Yeah.
So we'll just let that be that. Usually it's a family thing. So hopefully everything is okay in Nas's world. But,
Dre and Miller, I don't know if I enunciated that well, both still had fantastic games.
Yeah.
They're still tearing it up.
Yeah. Miller had a really good opportunity that he just kind of like low screamer. First of all, Sparrow, for the goalkeeper for Nashville, kept them in that game. That game could have, if it's a lesser keeper or if he's just not having that kind of stand on his head kind of day, it's a 3-0 win, I think. Because there were some goals that DJ had a really good shot from distance that he palmed over. The shot from Miller that he just like palmed away. These were on frame, on target, ready to go in, and his last second effort knocked it away.
High quality saves.
Very. Yeah, like should be up for save of the week kind of saves. But like Tambakas equally had some good saves. So he kept us in the game late. There were some opportunities that Tambakas saved our butts big time. So
be interesting to see if the two of them actually end up duking it out for save of the week.
Could be. Could be. I haven't seen. Usually they would have had it out by now. It's usually on Tuesdays. But yeah, I'm almost positive he's up for save of the week. Or one of them is.
So now we're unbeaten in seven.
Yes.
And we haven't lost at home. And we get Matthews on Thursday.
For the July 4th game. And they're unbeaten in four.
Yeah. It's you like, get a football coach and all of a sudden you play football. Holy shit. Exactly.
What a fucking concept.
Oh, man.
Hire someone who knows the game and they might actually be able to coach the guy. Coach these guys.
Well, and it's not just a guy. It's the guy that's been there since day one.
It's
Mike Jeffries.
Yeah, I was going to say, was he first team last year?
Yeah, he was a manager last year.
Yeah, and then got demoted.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to pay all that money for Enzo. And then they hired the Gaelic
The Gaelic football head coach.
And then they still ended up having to give the job right back to him.
We all knew this was coming. Yeah. I think deep down, Charlotte fans knew that this was coming. Wait. Excuse me. Matthews,
Are there fans of this team in Charlotte?
Oh, shit!
Because it sounds like, from what I have seen on Twitter lately, that folks in Charlotte don't really care that much about the independents these days.
Well, that's been obvious for a few seasons. I mean, it doesn't help that they're playing in a deep, deep suburb of Charlotte. But yeah.
But that's just a deep cut, Dave. Damn.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is hashtag Matthews Hate Week.
True. So, twist the knife a little bit.
So we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. We'll talk about Charlotte coming up in a second. I do want to talk about the atmosphere in the supporter section for the Nashville game. It was fantastic.
I wish I was there.
It was awesome.
I missed this myself.
It was so, y'all would have been so proud because we had some new blood from the people that were coming to check out NCFC for the first time. I saw a lot of new faces. I feel like I say that every week because I'm not very good with faces and names. Because people are like, "Hey, Chuck," and I'm like, "Hey, man, I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know your name."
This is why Facebook continues to be pervasive, because we forget people's names all the time.
That's why my avatar is my face.
Yep.
Because without it, who the fuck am I, right?
Exactly.
But so saw a lot of people that people were buying memberships and buying merch for the first time. They were buying some of our stickers, which is really cool.
Dope.
Yeah. Like they were just literally throwing us cash. Like, here you go. This is really cool.
Shut up and take our money.
Yeah. and so they carried that enthusiasm into the stands, which was really cool. I think a lot of it was a mixture of the stadium announcement from last week, keeping that push going. And there was a lightning delay, so we got to tailgate a little bit longer. So people got a little bit more lubricated than usual, which always makes for a good atmosphere.
Was Willie pouring whiskey down people's throats again? Dude,
Willie was in good form.
Yeah.
He was waving his flag for a solid 70 minutes straight. It was great. everybody was just in good spirits. Everybody was singing. Everybody was like involved. That was probably one of the few times where Ryan usually like pumps up the crowd. Like, come on guys, come on. He didn't really have to do that much in this game. So I just want to give a shout out to everybody that was there. If you're listening to this for the first time, first of all, thank you.
Yeah.
You should listen to all the other episodes. But also,
54 more to go.
54 more to go. But yeah, there was just a good vibe in the stadium and at the tailgate, and everyone was just having a really good time. Well, we have a really good time every week, but there's just something different. I think it's just the new blood of people being excited that they were kind of using this as like a springboard to be like, oh, this is fun. This is something new that I've never experienced before. I want to keep experiencing it.
Well, let's hope they all wish to keep experiencing it on the 4th of July.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too. They easily could have just looked at the weather and been like, nah, fuck that. It's too hot. But they showed up. So it kind of says, the weather doesn't necessarily play in as much of a factor as we might think. It's all a matter of, like, am I going to have a good time? The answer is yes. If you're coming to hang out with OCS, you're going to have a good time. But yeah,
and you might even get drunk while you're here.
Yeah, free beer does not hurt
at all.
Free beer and food, people were chugging and chomping down. It was great. So real quick, it was a 4-2-3-1 from Nashville. Tim Bacchus, Skian, Brotherton, Comsia, which is kind of our standard back four. I think we talked about this in the previous week, that if we have that back four, I feel a lot better. Brotherton almost had a goal. Forgot about that, too. Brotherton,
that's right. He had a really good header in there. If he had just gotten it a few inches to the left or the right, that might have gone in.
Absolutely. It was literally just right at the keeper with a lot of like pace from a header. So he had a really good opportunity that was saved. Duvernay came in the 49th minute, which was an interesting sub so early. Came off for Comsia, I believe, because he was hurt.
Comsia, did he pick up a knock? Or
just in the game. I think he should be okay for the fourth. But it is a short turnaround. Duvernay was solid the rest of the game. He wasn't as much of a worry. And then we had Taylor. And Smith, Fortune. Miller had the armband, which is interesting. It's been switching a lot between him and Spies and obviously Austin. So Miller got the captain's armband. Obviously Spies, Poncho. Deleuze came on.
Yes.
Got to see him again.
Dope.
That was good.
Yes. I was so excited. I watched this game on delay because I was not staying up at like 3 a.m. for it.
You're not a true fan, Evan.
No.
Sorry.
Gonna go ahead and say no. but it was dope to see him back. I know this injury was kind of nagging him for a little bit. Glad he got on the field for Pride Month.
Because he's been matching everyone else's donations. He's like, sorry, I've not been playing. So it was good to see him get in before the end of the month. Yeah, so he came on for Poncho at the 80th minute. And Awolo started up front because Lomas is still out. We did not see Christo in this game. Awolo played the full 90.
Which makes me think that Christo will start for Charlotte.
Right, yeah. Awolo didn't seem like he was gassed, necessarily. He was going pretty hard.
We were a little concerned from him after the previous game, the St. Louis game, where it looked like he'd pulled a hammy or something.
Yeah,
but
he seemed okay.
Looked like he was okay.
Yeah, we have good athletic trainers.
Look, my soccer teams and hamstrings, I'm not okay with it right now. Okay?
Just a curse.
Just damn it.
Yeah. So I want to talk real quick about Spies' goal. That's what he brings. I think that is the difference between
him and Nas.
Well, not just him and Nas, but just like him and some young guy, you know, who's playing his first professional season or something like that. So sometimes you need to have that class that's just a touch above, like just a notch above what everyone else brings. I just don't know how many players could one-time it with that kind of finesse, with that kind of accuracy.
I don't know. Nas did that against us a couple of times last season. So.
Yes, he did.
Sure. Oh,
I think Nas can do that. Austin can do that. I think even Miller and Fortune can do that on their day. But
we've seen Miller do it this season.
Have.
Yes. So
it's just having that little extra something.
They're veterans, but they're young veterans.
Yeah.
And it's very refreshing to see that these guys can keep going. And have that touch of class and only build on it. So,
yeah,
it was a good get. Spies was a very good get. And I'm excited the way this team has grown over this season.
Especially with the amount of injuries we've had.
Yeah.
Thank God players like Spies and Fortune and Miller haven't been hurt because they've been our workhorses this season.
Yeah.
It's only Spies' second goal of this season, if you can believe it.
It feels like he's kind of like that silent assassin. He does the work. And then sometimes he'll get rewarded for it with a goal. Kind of like McCall. He does the work, but then...
But McCall doesn't score that often.
Right. Spies hasn't scored that often. Second goal, right?
But he creates opportunities.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing. We need guys like that who can create opportunities. Every team needs that.
Yeah, I guess what I was getting at is that Spies is the guy that can create something out of nothing.
Yes.
That goal was something out of nothing, for sure. Kind of came as a surprise from us all the way to the other side. We held Nashville to their second shutout of the season for them.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So they're the fourth highest scoring team in the league, and we held them to 0 goals.
Nashville, any team with Daniel Rios is going to score a lot of goals.
Definitely.
They're going to play the you score two, we score three game.
Yep.
And they do it fairly well because Rios will score those goals.
But again, NCFC's ability to absorb the pressure from any team so far, and we've seen that time and time again, you know, because this is not a team that's going to win possession battles. This is a team that's going to sit back and, you know, set up something on a counterattack usually. Yeah. So,
which is, I think that's pretty much how our goal happened.
Yeah.
For us, yeah. It was a good counterattack opportunity.
So the ability to create those opportunities and the ability to you know, absorb that pressure, that's what's going to carry us over throughout this season.
Absolutely.
That's the game plan that Dave Sarakin's put out there, and so let's roll with it.
Yeah. Know? It's interesting that the teams in the league have a lot of film on us now, and it's not a total surprise about our method and our tactics, and yet we seem to keep grinding out results. We haven't scored more than three in a while, if I'm not mistaken.
I think Hartford was the last time we did that.
Hartford?
Yeah, we got
four. At home.
Yeah.
Hartford at home, we got four.
Yeah. So, not going to complain about a win by any means. I mean, if we're going to coast the rest of the season with these, you know, grinding 1-1, 1-0 kind of results, hey, better than last year.
Yeah. Yes.
Better than last year. Also, 7 unbeaten, last time we had that happen, tail end of the last season in Nassau, which we went to the playoffs.
Yes.
Because of that streak. Just hope we can keep that going for the rest of the long season. We're about halfway through the season.
We're halfway through the season, and we're in fourth place.
Yeah.
That puts us in a really good position. That's a home playoff game right there.
Yep. And
fourth place.
Not only that, we're not flat track bullies, right? We are taking points off of the teams above us.
Yes.
So
we took a point off of Indy, who was in second. We
took three points
off of Tampa, who's in first. We took 3 points off the Red Bulls in third. We've taken three off of Nashville in fifth. We've taken three off Louisville in seventh. So yeah, we're earning our way through this league.
Like we've said this many times before, that like after about 10 matches, where you are on the table is about what kind of team you are. Aside from the crazy run, and we were about sixth or seventh, I think, after 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
So this is above where we were. So feeling good.
You're starting to see just a little bit of separation in this table too. Tampa Bay's got 36. You know, we've got 30 points right now in fourth, and we're tied with the Red Bulls. They have one more win than we do, so they're in third. Indy's on 34 points, and Tampa Bay's on 36. But Indy, Baby Bulls, and NCFC all have a game in hand on Tampa. This is still anybody's ball game.
Yep.
And we're in the hunt.
This is a fun league again. It's not Cincy running away with it and then crashing out in the playoffs. It's everyone's here and fighting for those top spots.
Honestly, and this is no knock on MLS, but if there's USL on or MLS on, I'm watching the USL game because it's going to be, the quality may not be great, but you just never know. Like a team like Tacoma could take all 3 points against Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't see that happening right now.
I know, but it could happen though. It could.
But way to throw me on it.
I know, right? Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like I think the competitiveness, even for the teams at the bottom, like aside from maybe Swope Park, Hartford is competitive now, even though they're kind of sitting at the bottom. Charlotte is becoming competitive again, which I guess is a good segue back into what we were saying earlier. They're coming here. It's an NC Derby match.
Therefore, I'm beaten.
Jonathan and I were talking earlier today. If we win this game, we win the Southern Derby Cup.
How?
I think, right?
No.
Because the only other game left is away to Charleston.
Charleston and Independence played twice?
They have played once, but they drew.
Right.
And so if we win, well, okay, so I'd have to do the math. Because it's been a while since there's been a Southern Derby match.
Right.
If we win, it puts us in really good shape.
There's another Southern Derby match on Friday, August 30th. That is
I think that's
Charlotte versus Charleston.
Okay, so
if we win, we go to the top. So right. That game would need to be a draw.
Well, we're at the top now, but I think it's 4 points because we drew with Charleston
and
we won against Charlotte.
They also
and drew. Those two teams played each other and they drew.
Oh, they already played once and drew. Yep. I thought Charleston won that game.
No, they drew. So
where's Zach when you need him with the quick math?
I was just saying, it was like, I don't think any of us have really kept an eye on the Southern Derby Cup because we haven't. There's been no game for several weeks.
And but now there will be.
So now there will be.
Are we on 4 points?
I believe we're
on four points. Charleston's on two. So if we win.
No, are we sure Charleston's on two? Hang on a second.
Well, they drew us.
They drew us, yes.
And they drew Charlotte.
Yeah.
So they're on
two.
Charlotte's on one, and we're with four.
I have to double check this because I want to make sure that we're actually getting this right.
This is a great
idea. Charleston actually beat Matthews 2-0.
Okay.
So we are, and we beat Matthews 3-0, which means we are ahead on goal differential.
Okay. My mistake. So, yes, we have four, they have four. We're up
on goal differential.
So if we win this game, we're in pole position.
Yes.
Essentially. A lot would have to go right and wrong for Charleston to
Charleston would need to win, and we would need to lose
at Charleston. Yeah,
that would be to get the cup.
I think ultimately the game in Charleston is going to be the pivotal decider for one way or the other.
Yes.
So we can even technically lose this game on Thursday and still be okay.
But let's not lose it.
Let's not do that. So yeah, we play the Independents July 4th. Perfect. You know, the stars have aligned to play the Independents on July 4th. So, yes, we're unbeaten in 7. They're unbeaten in 4. They're starting to have belief. Last time we played them, not so much.
Can we crush that belief?
We have in the past.
Into tiny little pieces and give it to all the MLS supporter groups that have popped up?
So here's the thing, is that the last time, I believe, that we play them at home, there was still a decent amount of belief in Charlotte. Like they were riding fairly high going into that game. They were feeling good. And
then we won like 5-1.
And then we won. I don't know if that was a 5-1 game.
5-1, 4-1.
I don't know.
Two braces, an Austin Deleuze goal.
Oh yeah.
6-1.
You're right. It was 4-1.
6-1.
6-1. Jesus. I don't know if that's going to happen this time.
No, I don't expect.
I'd be ecstatic if it did. I'm going to say this, because last time we had our predictions and I predicted that Charlotte would beat us when we played them down at Matthews. I'm actually still going to stick with that. I think Charlotte might pull out a win. Call me crazy.
Chuck.
I'm just saying, it worked last time. Put it out there that we're going to lose.
Chuck's trying to throw out the reverse jinx here.
Bingo.
I don't think that's going to happen here. I think this will be a closer game than the game down in Matthews.
Fine, 4-1.
Well, there's belief in their team. They have a system that they believe in. They have results.
Do their fans believe?
Yeah. Do their fans believe? I think they believe more than they did 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
one of them's already predicting that team's going to make the playoffs.
Let's just go and call him out. Ben Gosshorn on Twitter.
He's drinking that whole pitcher of Kool-Aid. And then he made another pitcher of Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid.
Drank that too.
Kool-Aid. He got a bottle of whiskey from Jim Fossil is what he got right there.
I admire the spirit.
Fair assessment. They're 2 points out of playoff position. Come on.
Yeah.
Four, actually.
I admire the enthusiasm.
And St. Louis is in 10th place. They have 3 games in hand.
Right.
So
I do admire the enthusiasm. But Ben was also the kind of guy who was like, it's fine. Like when they had Jim McGinnis, like, it's fine, guys. It's an experiment. We're trying things out. We've just been unlucky. We've lost against really good teams. Like, you know, like every excuse in the book, right? Then they get a new manager, and all of a sudden, like, the X factor goes way up. Right, so like Dave said, I think it will be a close game. It might be a 1-1 draw. It might be a 2-1 win. They're definitely going to get a goal, I think. I think they're feeling good.
I was thinking
3-1. 3-1?
Yeah.
I think it's 2-1 tight. Maybe we pull out a third one in the stoppage time.
I'm going to say NCFC wins this 2-1.
2-1? I think it's scoreboard flatters the result, maybe. Like if, maybe it's like we're up 2-0 and they get a goal at the end kind of thing. Or
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
All I care about is 3 points. I don't care how we get them.
Yeah.
I mean, for Southern Derby Cup, for where we are in the standings, we need to beat teams that are below us.
Yeah.
That's just like a given, obviously.
And not lose to teams that are above us or right around us.
And having Austin back is huge because he gets it. And I think that last game in Matthews, I think everyone else is on board with what this means to us and what it means to just the fans in general, what it means to our club to win derby matches. Got to do it.
I think the team, like when we went down to Matthews, I think we talked about this a little bit. Austin kind of told the newer guys like what this is and what this means, and you could see it in their faces. And when they came over to celebrate, and you could just feel that they knew how important this was, not only to us, but to this history of the rivalry, not even for just the Southern Derby, but for the teams, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think he's telling them the same thing. Because now we have Nas back.
Mm-hmm. There's our next factor if there ever was.
Yeah, and you kind of amplified it a little bit more because now both teams are on streaks.
Yeah.
And I think Austin goes back into that locker room and kind of gives that speech a little bit more amp.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know.
Turn it up.
We got it. Now it's a big boy league now. Now they realize that this isn't USL 1, you know?
Right.
It's time to come into this game and get some work done, you know? So I think Thursday is going to be very, very pivotal.
Nas coming in makes – it's another thing. And also, Nas is known to play in this game big time. Like, he always – steps up in the big games.
Human beings in a mob.
Wow.
What's a mob to a king?
He comes in with that.
Jonathan's here now joining us. Right as we're about to close up for the first half. Your quick thoughts, 30 seconds or less, Charlotte versus NCFC.
3 goals, dead wills minimum. Please.
Ooh, oh. Okay.
Please.
All right.
Shit. Jonathan coming in hot.
He came in with Watch the Throne and then a 3-0 prediction. Okay, Jonathan. All right.
Don't stand on the fence, man.
Yeah,
listen, like, Nas, score, North End, arms out.
He's going to make it Rapinoe it?
Deleuze, score, South End, arms out. That's all I need.
Also, if anybody from Charlotte is listening to this, please come to the match. We would love to host you guys at the tailgate. It's going to be fun. We got some stuff planned for the tailgate, some fun stuff. We won't reveal it here.
We'll reveal
it for later. We got some fun stuff planned. Hope you all come down because it's the 4th of July. Hopefully everybody has the day off if you work on the 4th.
We have free tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So literally, like, come to the tailgate with no ticket. We will get you a ticket.
We don't dislike you. We dislike your club.
Yes.
No, I don't like them.
Key distinction. Okay. I like the Jackson Militia folks. I'll be honest with you.
Why?
When you talk to them, you're like, oh, you're a nerd just like me. Okay. I get it. All right. That's it for the first half. We're going to come back. We're going to talk Courage.
Yeah.
Little World Cup.
Yes.
And what else? Whatever we got time for. All right. Yeah. Stick around. We'll be right back. And we're back. So Zach didn't give us a Cardinal Collective minute, so we're going to skip over that. Sorry, Zach. All right.
But the U23s won.
But the U23s won, and that's all that matters.
Up the cards.
Yep. Oh, by the way, if we haven't told everybody, it's an interesting thing that we kind of came up with in the Slack channel. The U23s are the Cardinals.
Yes.
The professional NCFC is the Dead Whales.
Yep.
And the Academy are the Oaks. I've noticed this because they actually use hashtag COYO
for the
Academy.
Nice.
Yeah. So like they just like took the original mascot that we had that we eventually switched to.
And the courage are still the courage.
Still the courage.
Still the courage.
Beautiful segue, Dave. Yeah, so they got a win. This is why it's a six-point weekend, and I'm so excited about that. They beat the Spirit. I guess at the time they were the league-leading Washington Spirit.
Yes.
Beat them 2-1. Good road win. Very good road win, honestly.
And a repeat of the road win we got there last year as
Bingo.
Well. And let's just say it right off the top. Welcome back, Dabinia.
Huh? Yes.
Thank God.
Dabinia had a very good World Cup.
Did. She did.
She did. She didn't get her goal. And I was so hoping she would get her goal. I think she got at least a couple of assists.
She did. She got at least one assist.
One assist. But she came back, and you could tell the difference that it made in this team. I mean, Washington had no answer for her.
Well, they had Abby in the lineup, and then they took her out.
Healthy scratch or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Which is fine. But.
Yeah, which is fine.
I was told this was a precautionary measure, so I hope we'll see Abby on July 5th against the Dash.
I'm just like, precautionary for Abby Ersig? Like, she's...
What does that mean?
She has 0% body fat. She's made out of metal. Like, have you seen her abs? She has a 12 pack. She has an 18 pack, guys.
Like, that's normally $15.99.
She has all
the
abs.
Like, she got those for $3.99.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's like precautionary. Jesus, what is, like, is her leg broken? Is that the precautionary? Like, you know, she
even
would.
Even then, she'd still try to put on a brace and walk out on the field.
She'd be like, I got this. All right, so the Courage went out in a 4-4-2 box formation of Roland, Williams, Ricaro, Kurtz, Hinkle, Matthias O'Sullivan, Zerboni with the armband, Dabinia, and Pruitt and Williams.
I'm shocked that Roland got the start again.
I'm not super shocked. A little bit. But I think this is a game where it springboards Roland into a better season. Because she wasn't having the best season. I know she was kind of coming off the injury. So it's been kind of inconsistent from her as far as a starting perspective. Like, you know, an object in motion stays in motion, that kind of thing.
But goalkeeping in part is a lot about confidence.
Yeah.
And her confidence had taken a pretty big beating over a couple of games. So, you know, letting her sit down and just sort of, you know, rest and rebuild and not worry as much about that injury, you know, that she picked up earlier this season.
Yeah.
I think it's helped her. She looked a lot better in this game than she did in before Sam Leshnat came in for a couple.
Yeah. Best I've seen her looked all year. Maybe even some of last year, too.
So, I mean, not saying that Roland doesn't deserve to start, but where's LeBay?
Good question.
Because all the other players that were out of the World Cup are now back, including Australians. And
not all Australians played.
Well, also, we don't have any Australians.
Right, so. I know, but just saying, like, based on what Neil Morris was saying on Twitter, though, not all Australians played. Like, Sam Kerr played.
Sam Kerr, yeah, because she got a fucking hat trick, because Sam Kerr does Sam Kerr things.
But
so Sam Kerr is back in Chicago then.
Yeah,
I have not been keeping up with that whole episode because I heard she got that huge offer from Chelsea.
She got the offer from Chelsea and she addressed it and she turned it down.
For now.
More power to her.
I think her scoring a hat trick is kind of like, pay me or I'm leaving and I'm taking my goals with me.
We have a salary cap.
I know, but they can make it work. Are they paying her max?
Probably. Oof. Not.
Then I guess if they're paying her max, I'm assuming they would. Then
they probably if they're not paying her max, they probably bump her to max.
Yeah,
then they
sponsorship deals and all
sponsorships,
that.
Sponsorships, yeah.
If it ain't enough, I say go to Chelsea for a couple of years of work for Crystal Dunn.
Yeah,
you know, work for Heather O'Reilly.
She came back and won a championship. Yeah. Oh damn! Does that mean in 2 years we get Sam Kerr?
That'd be pretty awesome.
I like this logic.
Like, how many players would we have to trade, and how many picks would we have to trade?
No, none.
No, none? But wouldn't Chicago have...
Not. They lose rights after a year. They just made that rule. You lose rights after a year.
Oh, that's right. Didn't we have to buy the rights for Crystal?
Right, they made that rule after that.
Oh, okay.
We did have to trade away Ashley Hatch and Taylor Smith in order to get Crystal.
God, it seems
like
ages ago. Speaking of Ashley Hatch, she had herself a good game in this game.
Yes, she did.
She's really coming into her own, especially this year. So good for her.
She's had a very good season with Washington.
She has. And I'm glad she didn't score against us. She had a really good chance that Roland, that's what I'm saying, like Roland's starting to kind of gain her confidence back. She had a really good chance from outside the box, and Roland just like just got a hand on it and palmed it away over the top.
That's a save that'll boost the goalkeeper's confidence right there. That was a very good save.
Believe that is up for save of the week too, so go vote. So
I'm going to say this about the Washington Spirit. I really felt like their most impressive players in that game came off the bench.
Yeah.
Because you look at, I believe it was Shayna Williams and Crystal Thomas. Crystal Thomas, who actually got the goal. Yeah. I'm not sure how much she knew about it. Like, it just bounced off her head and just the right angle. And everyone was like, oh, it went in. But they were both really good sparks for Washington off of the bench.
They were causing us a lot of problems.
Yes.
A lot of pace. A lot of through balls into them. Thank God we got out with a win, because if that game had gone on another 10 minutes, they probably would have gotten an equalizer.
But thankfully, it didn't go on for another 10 minutes.
No.
Let's talk about Dabinia's penalty here for a minute. Because
it was a bad pin. She took a bad pin.
It wasn't the best. Yeah. I think the keeper guessed correctly.
It was badly taken. It was slow. It was very...
She did make up for it, though.
Yeah.
Yes, she did. She got that rebound. So it felt right, that was the goal. That's on the goalkeeper, too, because, the goalkeeper has to either put that ball out on the wing, put it behind, keep it away from the players. She pushed it right back into, right back in front of goal.
She was like, I saved it. That's all. That's all I got.
Yeah, and that just made it easy for Dabinia to hit the rebound.
Smooth finish, though.
Yeah.
A lesser player that she pushes that wide, but Dabinia knows how to finish a shot, fortunately for us.
And speaking of sweet finishes, how about Leah Pruitt's finish?
Dude.
Yeah.
That was dope.
The whole build-up
nice
to that.
Nice shot, rookie.
The whole build-up to that was just, that was like courage of old. That is a Paul Riley courage goal, right? It is, so the keeper and the defender are kind of like playing this back and forth bullshit.
It was like six times, keeper, defender, back to keeper, back to defender, back to keeper.
Do something.
And then that last one, and Lynn was just waiting.
And Lynn Williams was like, nah, son. And just came out of nowhere, took that ball, set up Leah Pruitt perfectly for that goal. Although Leah Pruitt did have to cut back once to get open, but once she did, it was over. But
so you mean FIFA tactics don't work in real life?
Yeah, press O for manual tackle. Does not work. Oh my controller's laggy. That's why. Reset.
You can't just pass back and forth between, your defenders?
Not against the courage.
Apparently, Crystal Dunn's... Not Crystal Dunn. Damn. I was thinking about the USA game. Lynn Williams said no.
Yeah. Lynn Williams... I don't even know where to begin with this. She just straight up snatches it from her. Has the composure to... She had acres of space in front of her, but has the composure to go, is shooting it the best option? No. Leah's just also in acres of space.
Her shooting percentage has fallen a bit this year, which I don't know if not getting picked for the World Cup squad has altered her confidence a little bit.
Yeah.
At least on shots. Everything else about her game has been really strong.
Yeah, this is the third assist, which is tied for the league lead. I didn't even know that it was that low.
Right, and then didn't Lynn have a goal like that last year or something where she picked off a pass on the left channel?
Yeah. I think it was versus Houston.
Right. Yeah. So the thing is that what's kind of underrated is when you look at Lynn Williams, that the fact that she's able to be like your best forwards are also good defenders as well. And she's been that, which is awesome.
Oh, my God. You sound like Jill and Crystal Dunn. Stop it.
Okay, but no.
The difference is she's not going to be playing defense.
Exactly. No, you're going to defend the fullback, not as a fullback.
Right. Exactly.
Thank you.
They're also very good at possession.
Right.
Right. Lynn Williams having the frame of mind to go, the better option is to push it to Leah, see what she can do with it. She stops on a dime and composes herself enough to get the boot around it. Beautiful shot. That's also up for goal of the week. So go vote for her.
As it should be.
Yes, it should be. Second goal for Leah Pruitt. And third assist for Lynn Williams, which is great. Love this. All right. So we have a kind of back and back, back to back game. So the 4th is NCFC. The 5th, or Friday, is Courage versus the Dash. Feel like that's got to be a win.
I'm skeptical.
Yeah.
Because the Dash is kind of coming to their own.
A little bit.
A little bit. They had that rough result versus Portland, but they've got Mewis healthy again. Mm. The other Mewis.
So Christy Mewis.
There's two.
The not as good Mewis.
Right. Ohai is finally healthy and back.
Yeah, true.
But they lost Daly to the World Cup. They'll get her back soon, though.
Not this soon, though.
No, not Friday soon.
No.
She still has to play in a third place match.
Oh, that's right.
Saturday.
Yeah.
That's right.
Third place.
That sucks. I really wish FIFA would
if
not.
She, if they need any help, the U.S. Soccer also sent a scout to the Nice hotel as well. Oh, so yeah, if they need any pointers, we've got them.
Oh, shit.
That is gold. I love that.
Can we talk about that? Can we just go ahead and segue into that?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Before we do that, I want to talk about the standings real quick. Okay. So, like, the last time I was here, which I missed a lot. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
It was like people were kind of worried and like, you know, like it's okay because like they were gone for the World Cup. So here's the thing. We're one spot out of the playoffs right now. We're 1 point out of the playoffs. We've scored tied for the league lead in goals, have the best goal differential, and are 3 points out of first place. And the World Cup ends on Sunday. It's okay.
We'll be fine. I think we've been saying all along, if we can just weather this storm for the rest of the World Cup, and I think every team is thinking that, right? Like, if we can just weather the storm. Because you know, like, Rapinoe plays for Rain.
Yes.
You know, they're just like, oh my God, can you stop winning so you can come back? Everybody will be better off. The
Chicago was like, Sam Kerr, please come back.
Please come out of the group stage.
They're like, as soon as they lost, they had that graphic ready. She's coming back. She's ready. Let's go. They had that graphic ready. Yeah. Before they even blew the whistle, they had that graphic ready.
Oh, you know they did.
Sam Kerr is the soccer equivalent of a walking bucket.
Yeah. Like, God. Chicago is happy to have her back. Yeah.
But we've managed to weather the storm to the point where we're good. We're in as good a position. Probably could have been a better position. Some results didn't quite go our way. But we haven't been blown out of any game. You know, if we've lost, it's been a close loss. So, and honestly, I'm okay with that.
I think our worst loss has been in Chicago, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was Sam Kerr doing Sam Kerr things
right.
Again.
Right.
As one does.
Because she was one of the last to leave.
Yeah, like, her and Abby Ersig were the last few to leave.
So, yeah, like Jonathan said, we'll be fine. I think we'll be fine. I see this maybe a hard-fought 2-0 win for Courage, but it's going to be 1-0 for like 85 minutes. It's going to be one of those games. Yeah, it's going to suck to watch. But I feel confident.
I remember last season, I believe we won this game 5-0.
Yeah, very different
season. I don't think we'll win this one by quite as much. We don't have nearly as much firepower on the pitch as we did in that last game. But with
Hamilton's firing them in. Is firing them in.
Mm-hmm.
Pruitt.
Yeah.
Spetsmarks can come off the bench and fire him in. I was about to say Eddie, and then I got sad.
Yeah.
But O'Sullivan can turn a game on her head. Zerboni can definitely put in a goal or two, or at least, you know, make something happen.
Yeah.
So there's opportunity. There are goals out there, and Dabinia is on fire right now. Like she's a woman on a mission right now. So keep that going.
Defenses are in fact terrified.
Yes.
Indeed.
I'm gonna say this is gonna be a 3-1 win.
3-1.
Oh,
I like
for
that.
The Courage.
I could see that too.
I was gonna go 2-0.
2-0.
Yeah, I'm with that too.
2-0. I'm gonna say 2-0, 3-1. Okay.
Yeah, I think we're gonna see. I think we're gonna see some goals in this game.
It's another 6-point week.
Copa America. If you're trying to figure out what's going on in the background, Copa America is going on right now, and it's Brazil versus Argentina in Brazil.
Ah,
oh, that sounds special.
That explains the noise. Because it's not. It's not like. Well.
Oh, and apparently the Copa has come to us as well.
Yes, yes, it has.
Anyways,
July 5th, the team gave away a lot of free tickets.
Yes.
I have a couple left that the team gave us. So,
come get
dope.
Them. Yeah.
And any of you who feel like standing and cheering, we invite you to come join us in Section 207. We are going to be making a lot of noise out there for the Courage.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty dope. Can confirm.
Can confirm. Can been confirm. In that section. Can confirm. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. We can't say the name of the team yet. Or
not
the,
yet.
The
yet. There will be a reveal. Yeah. It's coming.
It's coming.
And you will find out more on Friday.
Sweet.
So I don't believe we had any AS6PW, which is fine.
I didn't see
any. Because we'll just skip right on over to World Cup. Ebony.
Hi.
Tell us a little bit about your experience in Europe and what it was like being following the World Cup in France.
I did not learn French. Leave me alone.
Well, because you weren't in France the entire time.
No, I was not in France the entire time. It was great. So got there. I went to the USA-Chile game and the USA-Sweden game. Got to go to Normandy Beach.
Ooh, cool.
And got to do a reef laying ceremony with American Outlaws.
Oh, dope. Nice. That's awesome.
At the Normandy Cemetery.
That's so cool.
That was, I cried.
Oh, I bet.
A lot of people cried that day. I guess just because when you get to the Garden of Forgotten Soldiers, and they tell you to turn around and look at the flags and sing the national anthem. That was a pretty surreal moment as one, but we turned around, they started playing, and the whole cemetery stopped. Everyone stopped and turned and faced our flags and put their hands over their hearts.
Wow.
And I was like, I will never, ever get to experience something like this again. So I was like,
That's so cool.
Like, this is...
Wow.
Everybody's crying. It was... All right, cool.
What an experience.
But the games were cool. France sucked.
You and the Griswolds just hate France.
It was it was bad. Like, you don't know there's a World Cup going on.
So give us top three best moments or top three best things about your experience in France and top three worst.
Top three best was definitely the quarterfinal.
Yeah.
Normandy and...
The food? Hmm? The food?
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of meat and cheese. Yeah, that was... The food and wine was pretty dope, too. that's probably my best three experiences. My worst three was Paris itself. Yeah, it was just... It was lackluster. Like, it's a World Cup, and no one there knows about it. So there's nothing extra to do. There's... Of course, there's the museums, Notre Dame, the Louvre, all of those things. Those are cool. Went to the Eiffel Tower, the Trocadero, all of that kind of stuff. Like, you did your touristy things, but you were as a World Cup, and as much as FIFA, quote-unquote, hyped it, there wasn't anything outside of it to do, extra. And that was kind of disappointing.
So there was no, fan zone?
There was a fan zone, but it wasn't open all the time.
Oh,
In Canada, it at least was open, on off days,
I know that, in Brazil, that fucking fan zone was open, all the time.
Right. This one wasn't. It was, select days. And it was mostly when U.S. and France were playing.
What?
Yeah. And so there were huge gaps where the fan zone was just... not happening.
Well, I'm sure fans are just kind of going, all right, so what do we do?
Right. That's what a lot of fans were saying. And
I'm sure FIFA was just like, oh, it's France. It's Paris. Go exploring. You're like, well.
You can do that for 3 days. Right. And then you see all the museums in one day.
Right.
You do all the big touristy things another day. And then you're kind of just like.
Tired.
And it was cold the first week. And yeah, it was really freaking cold the first week.
And then
I had to wear a jacket to the beach.
What?
I saw that France was basically on fire.
Yeah, that's what I was saying,
it was. I almost passed out in the stands for the quarterfinal. That's how hot it was.
Oh, fantastic!
So, real quick segue, they have all their weather in Celsius, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, 30 degrees. Oh, well, that's not a big deal.
No.
So I look at the convertible, holy shit!
It's 105.
Yeah.
I was why are y'all complaining? That's no big deal.
Once
fuck.
When in Celsius, once it starts starting with a 3, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I think it's funny because like England will be like, oh, it's, we're having a heat wave, and I look and it's like 85 degrees. Right. I'm like, y'all, come on. I know it's...
It's almost as if the NWSL knew what it was doing when it made players go out there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the middle of July.
Preparing them.
To prepare them
well, Sammy
for
Mules,
this World
if you
Cup.
Didn't see that interview, Sammy Mules was like, oh, I live in North Carolina, so this heat means nothing to me.
This is my life, fam.
But yes, it was... Paris was... A really bad experience. Le Havre was a really bad experience. Just because they had, so in Le Havre, that's the only stadium they had to build, a new stadium because they had an older stadium that their team was playing in, but it was kind of like run down. So they put a new stadium up, which is cool. It looks really dope. But it's like 6 miles outside of the city.
City Rally, take note.
And it was so hard to get to.
City Rally, take
it
note.
It was the worst because not only that, they have public transportation, but because it's a small city, transportation stopped at like 8 o'clock.
City of Raleigh, take note. So
everybody was stranded. So people were stranded before the game even kicked. So it was 9 o'clock. Game kicked off 9 o'clock local. Transit stopped at 8. So you could get to the game.
But you can't get out.
But you couldn't leave.
Oh, my God.
So.
What a shit show.
It was horrible.
It's the tiny logistical things that FIFA and the country and the cities they're in weren't communicating, it sounds like.
Well, did you hear what's happening now?
No.
They're doing construction in Lyon on the tram lines. So.
That's ideal.
Right?
During a World Cup, they're doing tram line construction.
The week they moved the games to Lyon is when they started construction on the tram and metro line.
So my question is it made out of Lego? Because that's the only way it's going to be done in time.
So they started it the moment the games moved to Lyon.
So Ebony,
hi.
I just really want to make sure. So you went to France, right?
I did.
You went to Lyon.
No, I did not go to Lyon.
Oh, no, but you were in France, right?
I was in France.
So are you sure that Lyon is not Washington, D.C.?
I cannot confirm because I did not actually go, but it sounds plausible.
In which they wait for a major event to start working on the tram lines.
Well, in 2015 in Winnipeg, they were doing construction on the main road in Winnipeg as the World Cup was going on.
Okay. So, World Cup 2026. It's in Canada, U.S., and Mexico, right?
Yeah.
Men's World Cup? Yeah, I don't think they're going to have to worry about that, at least with hosting in the U.S.
Well, I mean, Winnipeg's in Manitoba, Ebony. What do you expect?
Yeah. It's
good old Manitoba. That's just so sad. And, like, it's like 2 steps forward, 1 step back.
Yeah.
Or 1 step forward, 2 steps back, honestly. It's like, because FIFA, at the end of this, will go, wasn't this great? Aren't we promoting the world's game, the women's game? Pat on the back. Way to go, us. You know,
there's one thing FIFA is good at, it's patting themselves on the back.
Counting cash and patting themselves on the back.
We've done an investigation and we found out that we are not sexist and racist.
Independent.
Yeah.
Independent investigation. Yes. That makes it better, even though you funded it. It's independent. Sure. Okay.
And now we're going to go visit our apartment for our cats.
Yeah. Hey, can we see the results?
No.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're back.
Europe was fun, though. If you get a chance, go to Europe. Because we went to Amsterdam, Zurich, some little small town before we got back to Paris for the quarterfinal. Because we weren't going to go to the quarterfinals, and then we're like, well, we can't not go.
Yeah, I mean, you're there. You might as well, right?
Yeah.
Tickets weren't hard to come by?
No, I messaged a buddy, and he was just like, yeah, here's two tickets, $33 each.
Damn. Okay. See, that's one of the things I've been hearing is that some of the towns have had trouble, if it's not France or the U.S., have been having some serious trouble selling tickets.
Yes.
Sad. Was it like that in Canada? It was pretty packed for Canada, right? In 2015? Better or worse?
Well, because Canada got the easy route and kind of camped in Vancouver.
Mm.
So they that game, I had stadium passes in Vancouver.
Okay.
So it was still pretty packed games. And then England, when England knocked Canada out in 2015, it was still packed for the England game. So it was pretty dope. But yeah, you could tell on a lot of these feeds that it wasn't a big draw, which is shocking.
Yeah.
You had 20,000 Americans come over, but only like 5,000 England people.
I think it kind of speaks to what you were saying, is that they didn't do a good enough job of promoting it to the local base.
Right.
It's like...
Like, Europe is so easy to travel.
Yeah.
Like, Netherlands bought, like, fucking...
Well, they love their soccer.
Yeah.
You know?
And Sweden, oh my God. So
yeah, they love it too.
Sweden was... It was hilarious. So, as we were walking along the beach waiting for the fan zone to open... I'm sorry. FIFA fan experience.
Okay. This is me making a wanking motion.
That's fair. I did the same thing because somebody tried to mansplain FIFA fan experience to me, and I was like, "Yikes. Dude, get the fuck out my mentions."
It's okay,
like,
Ebony.
This
Ebony.
Ain't my first rodeo.
Was it sponsored by Coca-Cola?
Yeah.
Okay, you have to exclude that then.
Yeah, right. The FIFA fan experience presented by Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
Right. Sweden had like this huge lot at the beach, like. All the Sweden fans met there, and it was huge. And I was like, that's what you need.
Yeah.
That's how you grow the game.
Bring your country.
Come on.
Take pride. Did you see a lot of England fans there?
I didn't go to this game.
Okay. So, but just like, just milling about.
Really? No.
Interesting.
Like, I had an Uber driver that had on a France jersey but didn't know that France was playing that night.
Well, that about sums it up.
Yeah, that really does.
So,
Jesus.
This is a food podcast. What was your favorite French food?
Oh, God.
Good question.
We had a lot.
What qualifies as French food?
Yeah, though? I don't know. I had a lot of food in France. Like, I had some fresh oysters from Normandy.
Oh, that's right. You shared those.
Yeah, those were so, that picture looked awesome. So amazing.
Yeah.
Did you have at least one croque monsieur?
What is that?
It's a... Ham and cheese with a
ham and cheese
with an egg.
No.
Okay.
I did have a lot of meat and cheese, like the platter things.
The charcuterie.
Yeah. After one game, after the Chile game, we went to like some small bar that happened to be a fucking Liverpool bar.
Of course.
Like of course, and we just bought him out of those plates. Like we got like four of them. Yeah.
The true American experience.
We got like four of those things, went downstairs, played pool, and watched some Copa America.
Dope.
It was great. The quarterfinal, though, holy shit. Amazing. I mean, we were loud. We had 5,000.
Just of American Outlaw?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, y'all were heard.
Yeah.
Because... So U.S. soccer had, I think, like a block of 10,000. U.S. AO had a block of, no, U.S. soccer had 20,000.
Wow.
AO had 5,000.
Wow.
Out of those 20.
Damn.
And it was cool. Like, you hear your national anthem. It's loud in the stadium. But when the France national anthem came on, it was ringing in there. And then they do this one chant where it's like, if you're not French... Then do not jump.
Then you're not what?
If you're not French, if you're not a true Frenchman, then do not jump.
Then do not jump.
Yeah. So they all start jumping. And this is PSG Stadium. And it starts like in their little supporter section.
Oh, cool.
And all of a sudden it just spreads along the whole stadium. And all of a sudden you feel it shaking.
That's cool.
I was like, this is one of the best experiences of my life.
It sounds like a Virginia Tech football moment.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Was it Wisconsin doing
the jump around? Yeah.
But then when Rapinoe scored and...
Quiet.
It was quiet.
Yeah.
It got quiet.
That was my favorite part of the NWSL championship. When Dabinia got that first goal, hearing like that wall of Rose City Riveters.
There, right?
Yeah. Hearing that wall of Rose City Riveters just go... Dead silent. It's just that must have been a great experience.
It was so, especially so when she scored her first goal, it was like they're like, oh, they were still going because it was early. But then she scored the second goal and it kind of got quiet for a second.
Ooh.
And then all of a sudden you could hear, oh, Megan Rapinoe. Dope. And then I went to Pride. That was dope, too.
I did see that.
And then I came home.
That's so cool.
Tell me something. How did that first goal get through so many legs?
I don't know.
I watched that.
How did that go untouched into... It's like Megan Rapinoe nutmegged the planet.
Yeah.
She nutmegged Julie Ertz, two defenders, and the keeper.
And Sam Mewis. Because she almost got a touch on it.
Yeah.
And she just... She was supposed to deflect it, and she just totally missed it. I'm just like...
It was Julie Ertz was supposed to deflect it at the near post. She missed. Two defenders missed. Sam was supposed to deflect it in the middle. She missed, and then Buhati missed. And I was like, oh, well, all right, whatever.
The goal's a goal.
Yeah. It counts.
But now we get to play in a final.
Yeah. What was it? So this is the 8th Women's World Cup, I think. And if the U.S. wins...
They all have half of them.
They'll literally won half of them?
Yes.
Cool.
That is dig. Cool.
So
I dig it.
If
I
you're,
dig it.
If you're
oh, and can we give a shout-out? We give... Alex Morgan a lot of flack on this show.
True.
Can we give a shout out to the pinky out tea drinking celebration?
Pierce Morgan was fucking furious after that too.
When is he not furious?
Yeah, but oh, it's just so great to goad him. It's great.
Oh, it's great.
It's great.
Our Morgan's better than your Morgan, England.
So to wrap up, Ebony's back. Jonathan's here.
Hello.
We're all having a good time. We're recording in London Bridge. Come watch the World Cup final here. This is if you're in Raleigh, if you're in the Triangle. And I live in Durham. If you live in the Triangle, you need to owe it to yourself to come here to watch
Carey,
the World Cup final.
Apex.
Yeah.
Garner. Chapel Hill.
Woo! The thing that's happening in the background happens all the time when the Dead Whales play on the road.
Imagine that, but louder.
I think, hopefully it's Brazil.
Yeah, probably is.
Yeah.
So come to London Bridge, watch the World Cup final. They're great people. They know soccer in and out. The beer's flowing. The food is fantastic. All right, we're going to close it up. Ebony,
hi.
Who brings us here?
We're brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company right here in downtown Raleigh. I didn't say Justin's line earlier.
That's okay.
Okay, cool. I didn't want to say it anyway. I forgot where I was. Tasty Beverage Company right here in downtown Raleigh. It's sour beer season, but it's dark beer season in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they have both to treat whatever type of mood you're in. We're still part of the Beautiful Game Network, BGN.FM, and Friends of the Pod on Soccer and Sweet Tea.
# SNST fam.
Oh, man, that sounds good. We're a good team right there, buddy. Woo. And we're still on gold. I missed it. Oh, and thank you to our sponsor, Golden Goal Press, the best choice for you to get custom shirts, hats, mugs, and other items for just yourself or for your organization. Check out their amazing products at a fraction of the price of other places at goldengoalpress.com. We can't leave a review on iTunes anymore because # iTunes dead, yo.
Apple Podcasts is up. You can do that.
Apple Podcasts is up. I don't have
iTunes. I'm very sad about the death of iTunes, RIP.
I'm not. No
Rip
one
in pieces.
No You're one. The only one.
That makes one of us.
You're the only one. So leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Or wherever you can. Or subscribe on Spotify.
By the way, Brazil is the one that scored.
That noise you heard was Gabriel Jesus getting something from Roberto Firmino for the goal.
The Liverpool and City fans are confused.
They don't know what to do right now.
So leave us a review, like us, follow us, all that good stuff.
It's kind of like the Courage fans and the Thorn fans when
the World Cup's happening.
When the World Cup's happening, when Crystal Dunn sets up Tobin Heath for a goal. You know, it's just
like, what?
I don't know how to feel.
How do you feel about that? You feel good because the USA scored. That's all you can say.
I'm going to book this right here, right now. A Courage player is going to score in the World Cup final.
It's going to be Jess McDonald. You heard it here first.
Wow.
I didn't go that bold, but I like it. I like it. All right. We're going to end on that.
All right.
All right. See you all next week. Thank you for listening.
Later.
Peace.